to the network. You're not flooding the network with data bursts. Now, for a home station, some operators might use wide 2-1 or even no path at all if they're close to an iGate. Now, what you should avoid is extending beyond 3 total hops. Every extra hop multiplies the network traffic exponentially. And remember, APRS is a shared channel. The goal isn't to see how many dots you can light up on the map worldwide. The goal is to get your packet to the nearest iGate. And one or two hops almost always is enough. So those are the things that you need to remember about the path. Wide 1-1 is one hop to home portable low-level digipeters. Dash 1 is to a wide area digipeter with one hop. Wide 1-1 and wide 2-1 is two hops, and that's what most people use. That's the most recommended path right there. Wide 2-2 is two hops, and that's only in a wide area. And if you're mobile in an urban area, that might be a good good usage for that. Wide 1-1, wide 2-2 is three hops, and that's generally used in rural or weak signal areas. And that's probably what I should change mine to. I haven't played with it much lately. But you need to use that sparingly to be polite to the network. So let's talk a little bit about the beacon rate. Now, we have a path. We have everything set up. We have our SSID. So now we need to know how often do we transmit. So the beacon rate is the rate of how often your station will actually transmit that packet. If it's too fast, you're just overwhelming and cluttering the channel. But if you're too slow, nobody really knows where you are. So a home base station, you know, every 10 to 30 minutes is appropriate. You're not moving. There's no need to update frequently. Now, for a mobile station driving around, I find every 1 to 2 minutes is common. The faster you're moving, the more frequent your updates need to be to draw a useful track on them. So the smarter approach, and one that's built into a lot of newer APRS radio, is called smart beaconing. So instead of transmitting on a fixed timer, smart beaconing will adjust your rate based on your speed and direction. So if you turn sharply or accelerate, the rate goes up. Sit still, and the rate drops. This keeps your track accurate while reducing all the unnecessary transmissions. Now, if your hardware supports it, use it. It's very useful.
VE7F.
All right, this is Scott in 7FGP in Jamestown, New York, and this is the Absolute TechNet. All right, so we've talked about SSID path beaconings. So far, now, is there any questions so far out there? Go ahead, and if there's a question, please give me your full call sign twice, slowly and phonetically, and we'll see what we can do to answer it. Call now.
This is TJ, KQ4GTP. I run the APRS on my phone. And I'm, you know, my call sign -14. Does the Android phone have those adjustable settings for like wide 1, wide 2, and the beacon rate, or is it just what it is? That's my question. KQ4GTP.
Comment.
Okay, KQ4GTP. Troy, we had a comment out there. Go ahead, comment.
Hey, TJ, this is AF0EJ Rob. Yeah, I discovered that when I was trying to get mine set up. Remember, I had all kinds of issues, and I had to go and do some research and then set path rates and stuff like that to get it to set up on the Android properly. Otherwise, I was either invisible to you or just flooding the system, and which made me invisible and are not moving the locked position in one place for quite a while. That's all I've got, AF0EJ. Back to that.
All right, AF0EJ, that's Robert. Okay, so I guess that answers your question there, Troy. I believe that most of those software units out there do allow all of that. It's the part of the how it all works. So you just need to research. I'm not sure what software are you using, Troy.
I believe it's the app that you were talking about on the Android phone. My buddy up in Canada told me about it and helped me put it on my phone. So, I mean, it seems to work fine, so I guess if it ain't broke, fix it. I was just curious about the settings. I don't ever fool with any settings on anything if I don't understand it. That's just a me thing. But back to you, Ned.
All right, Troy. Well, hopefully there you got your question answered there, and you can get it all figured out there. Let's see. What was I going to say? Are there any other questions right now that we can answer? Give me your call sign twice, then slowly call now.
If that's the next question.
Moy, N5ZIQ, go ahead with your question.
Howdy, Mr. Scott. How you doing, sir? I was asking in reference to his information that he broadcasted a second ago. I know that in my Yaesu FT5D, when you set up APRS, this is a handheld, of course, that I'm referring to. I'm on Echo Lake with you right now, but I think if I'm not correct, let me know. But is it true that when you set that up, your suffix, the number after you have established your call sign, isn't it true that will be positioned by your radio only, or is it the software? Go ahead.
Well, I believe that if you're just using software, that you still use the same SSID. I was going to fire up my FT5D, but the battery's dead. If you have multiple handhelds, that was confusing to me at first. I had SSIDs all over the place until I just kind of used the standard list there. And, you still set the SSID in the software, as far as I know. Now, I haven't used any of the Android software since I'm all iPhone, and I don't have the iPhone version of the software. One of my radios does have a built-in APRS, and it does interface with the iPhone, and you can send messages and receive things that way. That's the BTEC or the Vero N76, and that works fairly well. Did that answer your question there, Moy?
N5ZIQ, back to you, sir. I think you're leaning towards what I was considering here, but when I set up my radio for APRS, you insert your suffix, your -7 in my case for that radio, N5ZIQ-7, and then when I activate APRS and by GPS, of course, together, it transmits as -7 and not a -9 if it were mobile, whatever, but it's whatever I have set up in my radio.
Yeah, that's correct. It's whatever you have set up in the radio. Like you said, in the FT5D, it has a section in there where you set up your call sign and you set up your suffix for that device. And then you do the same with your mobile radio. I have a mobile, well, the FT500, I just set that to the mobile suffix, which is what, -9, yeah. So I have that one set up as -9, the HT is -7, and your home unit is either -0 or not at all. And that's why when we pulled up the call sign earlier, KF9AF, I didn't put any suffix on it, so I pulled up his home radio. And then when he came back and told us that he was mobile and to use the -9, well, we could track him on the map there. So I hope that answers the question here. Let me send it back to you and see if that works for you.
Yeah, very, very good, Scott. I appreciate the information. Yes, that's correct. And I forgot to mention that the FT5D handheld, the AVHT, has a built-in PNC. So that's how we can transmit that information in a data packet, is with the built-in PNC in the FT5D handheld. So I forgot to mention that. So that's good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, back it out and let you have it back, sir. Have a good evening, and I found you on APRS as well. Take care, guys. We'll see you next time. N5 ZIQ Moy in Houston, Clear.
Right, Moy. Well, yeah, you know, I don't usually have it on, and so I turned it on and drove around with it today, and not a lot got into an iGate that was near Erie, Pennsylvania. I think there's a DigiPeter here in town, but I don't think it was on, so I haven't been able to see it. So anyhow, that's one of the things. Another goal of mine is to set up a DigiPeter, so maybe an iGate. Yeah. So, all right, let's see. We've talked about beacons and SSIDs. So let's see, where are we at here? Briefly talk a little bit about APRS-IS. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, is the APRS-IS, or that APRS Internet System. And that's a little bit about what we were just talking about with Troy there. It's a global network of servers that aggregate every packet heard, every iGate on the planet, and it's structured in tiers. So Tier 1 servers run from the core, and Tier 2 serve regional users. When your iGate forwards the packet to an APRS-IS, it flows through this network and becomes available to everyone everywhere. To connect as an iGate operator, you need to have APRS-IS passcode. And that's the 5-digit numeric hash that is generated from your call sign. Now, there are several online generators that will generate this passcode for you. And it's basically the APRS's lightweight authentication method. It verifies that you're actually a licensed amateur operator before allowing you to start transmitting packets into the system. For North America, the APRS-IS server to point to is noam.aprs2.net. In other regions, there are other dedicated regional servers, and your APRS software handles those connection details automatically. Up here at the top of the hour, we're going to see if Chris is out there and give us some information on the Absolute TechNet. Chris, are you out there? Over to you, Chris. Well, let's try Chris. Let's try him a little later. Let's keep going here. All right. So.